I must not have done it right. Well, good evening, Serenity Church. My name is Laurie, and I'm a grateful overcomer. I was given the gift of sobriety on May the 10th of 1987, and I'm truly grateful for that.
Amen.
I was granted freedom from the bondage of addiction on that day so many years ago. Tonight, I want to talk about freedom, the freedom that is available to us through Jesus Christ. I think this message goes well with what John preached last week. You'll need a Bible, a pen, and a bulletin tonight. If you don't have any of those things and you want them, raise your hand and we'll get them to you. On June 19, 1865, Major General Gordon Granger led Union armies into Galveston to announce that the slaves were free. So Juneteenth is next Sunday, Father's Day as well. But they had been free since January 1st, 1863, when President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. That proclamation declared that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states are and henceforth shall be free. Now, I think some of the slave owners and other officials in the state of Texas said they hadn't received that communication in 2 years. I don't think so. But it's more likely that they just didn't want to set the slaves free. So the slaves in Texas had lived as slaves 2 more years than they needed to. They didn't know they were free. Are you a Christ follower still living in slavery? Are you living as a slave to something, chained to the needle, the pills, the pipe, the dysfunctional, toxic, codependent relationship? Have you been led astray by the belief that freedom is out of reach? Well, I have good news for you tonight. Through the 12-step program with Jesus Christ as our higher power, freedom is ours for the asking.
Amen.
Maybe that news hasn't reached you yet, or maybe you just need a reminder that Christ can set us free.
Amen.
So last time I preached, I talked about the fact that none of us are invisible, that Christ sees us, he sees our needs, and is quick to come to our aid and restore us. You know, I look around while I'm driving in traffic jams, or I went to a concert not too long ago, and, you know, or anywhere there's a great crowd, and I think, how can God know us so personally and individually with all these people? How can he see me and what's going on with me? But he does. He knows our situations. He knows our hearts, our minds, our struggles, and our dreams. But the Bible tells us in Matthew and Luke both that he knows the very hairs on our head. You know, I look around and I think he knows every blade of grass, every tree or leaf on a tree, every molecule of water, and every person he's created. It really is beyond comprehension, but he does see us and has the power to heal and restore us. I talked about a number of people that Jesus saw and healed, restored, and freed. He saw and healed a paralyzed man who had been laying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. We talked about the blind man who was born blind. Jesus saw him and healed him. We talked about the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, the bent over woman who had been like that for 18, and the 10 lepers who were outcasts. Yet, Jesus saw them all and came to their rescue by healing and restoring them. By healing and restoring them, he set them free to live normal lives again. He set them free to rejoin their families and their friends, to work and worship. They were free from what had kept them in bondage. So we too can be free through Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." How do we find this freedom that Christ offers? We here at Serenity do a couple of things, usually in this order. We work the steps and we come to recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
So that's your first fill in the blank. We work the steps and put our trust and faith in Christ. To be free from something, we must first know exactly what it is we're in bondage to and admit it. Admit that whatever has us chained and enslaved has beaten us. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over what hurts us, that our lives have become unmanageable. We come to the conclusion, usually after being beaten up pretty bad, that we don't have what it takes to beat it. We come to realize that only something or someone bigger than us can take down the monster that has us pinned to the mat. In step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We decide to turn things over to this something or someone bigger, which is usually what it is about the time we get here. I wasn't quite sure who that someone or something was, but I came to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I then understood him, and that has grown over the years. We continue to work the rest of the steps after we make that decision. Somewhere along the line, we come to believe in a power greater than ourselves that keeps us on the path to recovery. We clean up our past, steps 4 through 9. We get an opportunity to start fresh with a new way of living, steps 10 through 12. If you hang around Serenity and Serenitarians, you start to hear about the higher power, Jesus Christ, who has set people free. You hear that he set them free from drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, codependency, food addictions. But you also hear that he set them free, us free from the most pervasive obstacle to healthy, good living, which is sin. Galatians 3:22, but Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner to sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I have good news for you. I mean, the word sin to me just means we've done something to displease God. That's your next fill in the blank. We've all done things that displease God. We're human. I mean, we do it every day, all the time. So it's nothing unusual to the human race. But the Bible also tells us that for the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse refers to a spiritual death and separation from God. Sin brings death wherever it goes. The good news is that God's free gift is life found in Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we deserve death, Jesus has offered a way of life, and he alone has provided a sufficient answer to the sin and spiritual death we face, to freedom from sin that separates us from God. We can receive salvation because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13 in Romans also adds, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is available to anyone who will turn to Jesus for eternal life and forgiveness, which produces freedom. This occurs when we believe Jesus is Lord and that he literally came to life again from the dead. Finally, Romans 5:1 declares, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As the result is a relationship with God that includes peace, security, and freedom. What I just went through is called the Roman Road. It's a gathering of verses from the book of Romans that explains and lays out the path to salvation. Would you like to follow the Roman Road tonight to salvation? If so, here's a simple prayer you can pray. But the words of these prayers won't save you. Only Jesus saves you. However, this may be a helpful example of how you can agree with God about your sin and accept his salvation. Dear God, I realize I've done and do a lot of things that displease you. I can never be forgiven or reach heaven by my own good deeds, but you have provided salvation for me. I place my faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for my sins, rose from the dead, and offered me the gift of eternal life. Please forgive me and help me to live for you. Thank you for accepting me and giving me eternal life and freedom. Amen.
Amen.
If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, please let somebody know, John or Shay or me or Aunt Laurie or Linda, anybody. We want to celebrate with you and pray for you. But following the Roman road to salvation, you can know you are free, free from sin that traps us in our old ways, sin that entices us towards old habits and thinking, sin that can lead us back to what brought us here. But with Christ, we have the power to overcome sin and slavery. We've been forgiven and set free from guilt and shame and past regrets. You know, I didn't know any of that back in 1996 when John and I tried to find a church we could tolerate while our young boys went to Sunday school. John had grown up in church, but I had not, and he wanted the boys to go to Sunday school. See, I thought Jesus was a fairy tale. I wish Serenity had been around back then, but we finally found a church that we could sit through. But I started having a lot of questions as the pastor was preaching sermons. Long story short, one night I was reading in bed and came across a story by Max Lucado called He Forgot. I was surprised by what I read. He said that when we put our faith in Jesus, He forgives and forgets our sins. He doesn't remember them anymore. For all the things that He does, this is one thing He refuses to do. They are gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know, as an aside, I heard a pastor talking about why he thought that he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. And he said it's because you can travel north to a certain point at the North Pole, but then you start going south. So the travel north will end and your travel south will end, but you can go east for eternity. You know? I thought that was pretty good.
There you go.
So God has removed our transgressions completely and for eternity. He remembers them no more. That is good news. But we'd been going to church for about six months, and I never heard that He forgives and forgets. But this Max Lucado book, he had talked about it. I was reading in bed, and John was asleep, and I poked him and woke him up, and I told him what the book said, you know, that Jesus died and God forgets and forgives our sins. I mean, it's gone. You get a fresh start. And he said, well, I know. And he turned over. And I said, well, nobody ever told me. So I took the story to the pastor of that little church, and I said, would you read this and tell me if it's true? And he sat there and he read it, and he said, Laurie, that's the whole reason Jesus came.
Amen.
It's the whole reason He came. If my past could be wiped clean, I was in. And I gave my life to Christ that day, and it's been a whirlwind ever since, a good whirlwind. But I'd been in AA for about 10 years at that point, but I found that things still haunted me. I didn't have the power to overcome them on my own, and the God of my understanding at that time wasn't quite sufficient. I started some counseling with a Christian counselor who really showed me what it means to be free from some of the things that haunt us. Even after we've worked the steps, if we haven't worked them with Christ as our higher power. I don't mean to be dismissive of anyone's higher power, but I found mine to be lacking until I identified that higher power as Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was through some wise counsel that I realized that I had never really experienced true forgiveness because I hadn't asked the right person. The person who overcame sin and death on my behalf and offers the same power through the Holy Spirit to overcome my own struggles and sin. But we as Christ followers have the power to overcome our struggles and sin because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, lives in us to give us strength and guidance and knowledge and power.
Amen.
Philippians 4:13, an all-familiar voice, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. The Lord is with us to break the chains of whatever is keeping us captive.
Amen.
In Him we can find the freedom to live happy, purposeful, and destructive, habit-free lives. In Him we can find freedom. We can know that we are free, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. You know, most people think becoming a Christ follower is anything but knowing a new freedom. They think it's all a bunch of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. It's about taking all the fun out of life, but they're wrong. He does give us some boundaries, but the boundaries keep us from things that harm us or are dangerous for us. I used this example before, but I think it illustrates the point well. When my boys were young, we had rules at the house, like rules about cabinets in the kitchen and the clean, you know, the knives and the cleaning stuff under the sink and stuff like that. We had rules about not going out in the front yard or leaving the backyard without a parent. They could play with anything, but those few forbidden items, and play anywhere within set boundaries. They had a playroom full of toys and games, a backyard with a swing set and balls and bats, and I mean they had it all. And they had the freedom to play with whatever they wanted. You know, I didn't care if they played with Play-Doh or Hot Wheels or threw the ball in the backyard. If they stayed within certain boundaries, they were free to pretty much do what they wanted to do. I think God is the same way with us. He gives us a lot of freedom with certain boundaries. Boundaries set for our own protection. Boundaries from the acts of the sinful nature, which we all have in us. Galatians 5:19 says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. I love that word, debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So why those boundaries? Because all of those things prove harmful to us and others. But just one further verse in Galatians is we find the fruit of the Spirit for Christ followers, and the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now those are gifts I will gladly take a hold of. Through the Holy Spirit, we can live happily within God's boundaries and have the power to overcome those things which displease God. We've been freed from the power and the penalty of sin in our lives by trusting the work that Christ did on our behalf, taking the penalty for our sin upon himself. But what have we been freed for? We've been freed from, so what are we freed for? Galatians 5:13 and 14 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men. Do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as servants to God. We've been freed from the power and penalty of sin and freed for service to one another and God. So how do we serve? Let's use Jesus as an example. He says that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. Jesus tells us that we're to care for those who are sick and hungry, thirsty, who are strangers, in need of clothing and prison. We're to care for widows and orphans and the poor. To me, as we serve others, that is our service to God. What does that kind of service look like? It looks like a meal train for Rita and David's family as the news of her brother's death came. It looks like getting up at 7:30 on Saturday morning to go down south at 8:30 to feed the homeless and provide groceries. It looks like showing up here at 4 o'clock to help put all this in place and afterwards helping take it all down. It looks like serving with the Kairos ministry that goes into prison to take the good news of Jesus to inmates. It looks like sharing our stories like Jesselyn did a couple Fridays ago, and she actually, at the Louisville group, and she actually used the word Jesus in an AA meeting. It looks like showing up and sharing in a meeting so a newcomer can hear, experience, strength, and hope. And it looks as simple and as sweet as a cake and flowers on my AA birthday week for my community group. This is 12-step work at its finest. The big book tells us on page 77 that our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. We don't have to wait till we're on the 12th step to do service work. And as a matter of fact, I think many of us would say, jump in as soon as you get here. Keeps us busy with good things. If you're new, you can serve in a lot of ways. Go early to your home group and make coffee. Do something as simple as hold the door and greet people as they come in. Help straighten up after meetings. You can do the same things here. This kind of service work is for all of us, old and new. As you work through the steps and make some headway, you can turn around and help the next guy. whether that is sharing with them casually or in a more structured relationship like sponsorship. The 12 and 12 says on page 110, to watch the eyes of men and women open with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the alcoholic outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These are the substance of what we receive as we carry AA's message to the next alcoholic or to the next person. The Big Book tells us on 89 that as we carry the message to others, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss.
Amen.
We know you will not want to miss it. These are some of the results of freedom in action. As we are freed from whatever was killing us that brought us here, we're freed and called to pass on what we have found. Freely we have received, freely give. Jesus freely gave himself for us. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. Jesus laid his life down for us, and the 12-step work helps us freely lay down our lives for others. We will find freedom from living in our problems as we live for others in a non-codependent way. If you're living in slavery to something tonight, I want you to know that Jesus has the power to set you free. He freed people back then, and he frees people today. How do I know? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:8 says, if Jesus had set... No, that was Jesus. That was Hebrews 13:8, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus has set you free from something, can you give me an amen?
Amen.
There are lots of people here that would be happy to share with you how they found freedom, even against all odds. You don't have to be like the slaves in Texas back in the 1800s who didn't know that they were free. The answer to your freedom is right here. It is faith in Jesus Christ. It is 12-step meetings. It's finding a sponsor and doing what they say. It's working the steps with Christ as your higher power. And it's turning around and giving what you have found to another. This is what we're all about at Serenity. We hope that you'll keep coming back. We'd love to share the freedom that we have found.
Come on.